Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Show here in front of me in the flesh, Mr. Sam Charlesworth, who's fresh from the US. I can smell the cheetahs on you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, Zach. How are you?
I'm very chill. How was the US? This is your, what, third, fourth time going there?
I think it's probably my third time. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Nice and sunny California. Mm-hmm. It was not much to complain about. I played a couple little gigs, which was nice. Played some acoustic shows in front of some people, which was good to kind of play some music in front of people in a different country. But yeah, it was really fun. Nice. I'm glad to be back in Dunedin, but it's a lot colder than California, that's for sure.
I bet. Is there a weird kind of like a vibe with, you know, Trump being in office now again? And
it's definitely, honestly, everyone over there is just like either one way or the other, and if they're in the middle, then they're, I mean, everybody just is at each other's throats for some reason, but yet everybody still loves each other, so it's like a weird balance of things at the moment over there.
Buzzy.
But it's still like some kind of balance of things, I guess, you know, like a lot of people let it bleed into their personal lives, but a lot of people are really good at like just being nice people and friendly and not letting that split them, you know. Which is good.
See, I had a friend whose dad is Canadian. They went to some border state. I can't remember what border state it was, with Canada. And they were at a cafe, and they were wearing like something that gave away that they were Canadian, like a cap with like the Canadian flag. And they were in a deep red state, and everyone in the cafe started looking at them and chanting 51st state, 51st state.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrifying.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. But no, I'm glad to hear that California at least is doing a bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. In preparation for this interview, I tried going to your website.
Yep.
But it gave me a privacy warning saying that I was like going to be under attack if I did this. So has this happened before?
I think I probably just haven't set it up properly, and I'm just not very good at what I'm at doing that kind of thing. So it's probably just some kind of fault on my end, I'd say. I'm definitely not trying to attack you.
I hope not. Far out. Trying to get more streams.
Stream.
Now, you're in Beatniks. You've got some solo stuff. You mix and master for local Aussie-Porty bands and musicians. You know, do you get burnout from music, from doing it too much?
Honestly, no. But I definitely get a bit of a, at least recently I've had a bit of like a creative burnout. You know, I feel like once you take on so much stuff and you're working on, it's like really cool to work that creative muscle, like putting on the kind of producer's hat and like helping people record music, and I love that side of things. But then that's completely separate to like creating music and kind of sitting down and writing songs and things like that, even though there's aspects that kind of like
overlap. Venn diagram.
It's definitely like a different two different kind of caps or worlds that you can kind of like dip your feet in. But then I find once you're doing too much of one of them, then you just don't have time to do the other, you know?
And that's so balancing.
Yeah. So I was definitely trying to find a balance, and I've definitely found that I've been doing so much of the producing and mixing and mastering and stuff for people that I haven't written many songs, or at least haven't had the creative inspiration to write new stuff in a while. I always sit down and fiddle with the guitar and come up with little riffs and things, but I haven't lyrically written too much in the past couple months, which is, I think it's just because of the way that I write is very much inspiration based, or like
of the moment.
The moment. And it's like I always try and every time I write a song, I sit down and I write it, and then that's the song done. Like I don't leave it and then come back to it. And like
it's a one and done situation.
It's a one and done situation, just purely because I write based off of some kind of emotional expression, or like some kind of expression of a certain moment in time, or that like feeling that you are trying to get across, or that I don't know, vibe that you're in your brain that you're trying to like put out. Because I feel like you can never really recapture that exact feeling.
Yeah.
So I've always been the kind of person to just like blurt it out, and then that's the thing there, you know? It's like once you come back and try and finish it, so to speak, or like try to add things to it, then you're taking away, you're not able to get back in that same headspace to like contribute more of that emotion or feeling. You know, you're kind of like removed from it, or you're in a not really adding more that is to the stuff that's already there, I guess.
But right, so your songs are very context based.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What was the context for this song? Because it is desperately sad.
It is desperately sad.
It's rather sad.
It is rather sad. I wrote the song. Heaven knows. I wrote it probably in 2021, I think, or 2022, and I had just moved down to Dunedin, and the song kind of is touches on some form of relationship between me and another person, who was someone that was very close to me, and someone that I felt like I had was starting to develop feelings for, or that kind of situation, whilst also being friends with them, and then like having to experience like. I guess being in such close contact with that person all the time, you are watching them interact with other people that they are interested in.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's that whole kind of like, I don't know, emotional turmoil of like trying to deal with all that kind of stuff and figure out where you stand and how you want to stand within the relationship and like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to navigate that kind of scenario, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you navigate it at the time?
I'm trying to think now. I should have come in more prepared. It's funny because
just back from the States, shit.
No, but it's funny because once you put that kind of stuff into a song, that's almost a way of dealing with it, and like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a way of like. Expressing how you like saying how you feel without having to actually sit down and talk to someone about it.
Yeah,
you know? It's like your own way of releasing that kind of stuff that you're holding
in. Purge. Yeah.
And so I think that's something that I did, but I also just haven't, it's hard for me to get back in that headspace. Even though that song captures that headspace, it's like hard for me to remember what I was doing or what I did in that scenario. Just because it's been so long. But it's funny because as the time goes by, you kind of it's been 2 or 3 years since I wrote the song, and so it's like the emotional attachment to it is definitely still there, and like sometimes I'll listen to it and I can like feel that, but other times I'm just like completely disconnected from it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I don't know if there's if I can remember how I approached the situation.
The situation.
But I think the situation. But I think the best way to approach anything in those kind of scenarios, I don't know if I did back then or not. I hope I did, but is just to be honest and truthful and trust the person that you're in that scenario with, and like be able to feel like you can. Trust him enough to share how you feel,
mm-hmm.
and be strong enough within yourself to like take that rejection and figure out where you want to go from there if that is how it ends up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
well, it seems like things didn't go down too well on this. As the song reflects, I mean, there's lines about seeing them like kissing someone on the side of a house, getting panicked.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, going back to that mindset or listening to it again, you don't really feel super connected with who you were then.
Yeah. Well, I think so much has changed, and time goes by. But I definitely can still. Sometimes I can still envision those things, you know, and like because I have written it in such a way that there's a lot of imagery,
yeah.
and there's a lot of like things that in my brain I can connect with visual like memories and things. So it's like I do still have that connection, but it's very much. A different emotional response that I have to it. Now.
Mm. Is there any reason you didn't, I guess, release it sooner? Because it's been in the vault for so long.
Probably just because I have been so busy helping other people, and which is something that I love to do. I love to just be able to help people make their thing or their dream and or their song come to life, and like really, it's a beautiful thing to be able to help people to give their creation to the world. You know, but. Probably just because I've been doing so much stuff, and I also went. I like to record the songs as soon as I've written them, so I'll like sit down and do it all in one sitting. So maybe I'll write it, and then maybe a couple of days later I will go and just record it straight away, basically. And I recorded this one. I remember recording this one with pretty much just like a SM57, and I was staying at someone's friend's house, and just kind of didn't have any of my musical equipment other than like my guitar and my little interface and an SM57. So I recorded the guitars straight away, I did the vocals straight away, and kind of was approaching them as just like a scratch demo kind of thing. And then did some like, and then I made this, I recorded a little like drum groove that I'd kind of ended up cutting up and turning into a little loop. And so the drums are pretty much just like a loop the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, so I recorded it all kind of very quickly and fast, expecting it to kind of just be more of a demo thing. But then you end up listening, and I was like, oh, I'll just finish it later, you know. And then I put it on the kind of on the side, and I came back to it. I was like, it's kind of done, but it's like, I still felt like there was something missing. But every time I went back to try and add something to it, I couldn't quite find the thing that I was trying to add to it. And then several years went by, and it was just sitting on the hard drive there. And then I got asked to do this gig with Julian Temple, the Amber Temple.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, do you want to play a gig on May the 2nd? And I was like, okay, sure. And I was like, well, maybe I should put out some music since I haven't really played any like solo shows in Dunedin for a long while, so nobody really knows much about my solo stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I'm doing a show, I might as well put something out for people to listen to the next day or something. So
stars align, man.
Yeah, the stars align.
Stars align. And I want to touch on the sound of this thing because,
yeah,
I mean, it features, you know, really lovely organ tones, the gorgeous guitars. I think there's a woodblock metronome keeping time, which I was like, ah, that's cool. It takes me back to like year six music class, just playing around with things. You know, does it help being a music producer to suss that out all yourself? Or sometimes you think, man, like someone else could mix or master this in a way that might actually benefit the track better?
Yeah, yeah. I think just because of how I go about creating the song and the music, for my solo stuff, I kind of enjoy it being a completely authentic, all Sam Charlesworth
just,
thing,
yeah,
you know? So
yeah,
it's like I really enjoy challenging myself to play all the instruments. And because I can, like, once you, I find that when I'm recording things and I record maybe the bit, like when you sit with a song for so long with just an acoustic guitar and a vocal, like how I've written it, it's really hard to then think about what you can add to it. And that's why I like to record the song straight after I've written them, is because then you haven't sat with the song with just being an acoustic and a vocal for like a certain amount of months, and then it just gets like imprinted into your brain that that's how the song should be. And so I like doing it straight away so that I don't worry about it. I can think more outside of the box of what else I could add to it, you know. So I can sit down and I can track the acoustic and the vocal, which is the whole essence of the whole thing, and then I can be like, oh, this kind of sounds like it could have some nice bass guitar and like some nice fat low end to like keep it moving, and or some other things, just kind of trying to figure out what you can add to it that will help the song rather than diminish it, you know?
Inwards is outwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So it's nice to just be able to sprinkle stuff around and try things out. And that's what's so easy with doing it yourself, is that you can, once you hear those things that you want to put in, then you can just do it, and you don't have to try to explain to someone what you're trying to get across or trying to do, the part that you're trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
It just streamlines the process, really.
It streamlines the process. The line that sticks out to me on here is that no one should live with themselves.
No one should ever have to live with themselves.
Yeah, no one should ever have to live with themselves. And I totally agree. That's why I think people should get flatmate.
Yep.
How did that line come to you?
I think
it's very much a
stream of consciousness.
There's no particular story behind it.
But I think
it's such an effective line.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite lines in the whole song as well, which is quite funny. But yeah, it's one of those. No one should ever have to live with themselves. It's cool because it. I don't know. I liked it because it has the sentiment that it's. I mean, it says
that is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think I really need to explain it.
Well, what it actually means.
Here we go.
It's like a Fabergé egg.
Yeah,
You know, it's a gorgeous line. Now, you are playing tomorrow at the Amber Temple show.
Yep.
No, actually, it's today, isn't it?
Today. Yeah, tonight.
Tonight.
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, you poor bastard. Just came back from the US, doing another show with Amber Temple, and it's at Pearl Diver.
Yep.
And it's going to feature some dance, which is awesome, some live dance aspects. You know, is this the first time you've ever been to a gig like that? worth dancing?
Differently, I think. I don't think I've ever seen been to see a show that has had someone playing the music and then someone interpreting the music.
Yeah.
Like straight, like live.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really awesome. I haven't even seen them play live before. I think this might be one of their first shows.
I think
shows.
It is, yeah.
So I'm really excited, especially because Julian Temple's such an awesome musician too. And so it's cool. It sounds like I was talking to him about it, and he was like, oh yeah, I've been writing all these songs and getting, my wife's been like,
my wife,
yeah, has been interpreting them, and it's cool. It's going to be like, I think the song's very much kind of like written in a Jack Kerouac kind of like storytelling way, and so it's cool that she can then transform that into some form of dance.
Yeah,
so it's going to be an awesome night, I think.
It's real special. And it is tonight at Pearl Diver, 8 p.m. You can get tickets under the radar. You can see Mr. Sam Charlesworth and the entire Alphabet play along with the Amber Temple. Very exciting stuff.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. I think that's all for our chat. Are there any final words you have for our lovely, beautiful listeners?
Yeah, if you want to come along to the gig, come along to the gig. I've also got a music video for Heaven Knows coming out tomorrow as well, which will be premiering at midday on YouTube. And you can find that just under my name on YouTube, Sam Charlesworth.
It was recorded in a desert or
it was
a
recorded,
deserty area, so, ranch
so,
or something?
Yeah. So it was recorded last year when I was over in the States again. Similar time frame, but it's a place called... it's in the Palm Desert, basically, so like inland of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it's on our friend's property, which they have named Scorpion Ranch.
Yes.
And so my friend has spent the past like 3 years building this like his own little like stone wood cabin thing just in the desert, and he's built it completely by himself, and it's beautiful. And so you'll have to see it when you watch the music video.
Yeah.
But it's just the most beautiful thing. All the wood he's recycled from old buildings that were getting torn down. He went grabbed a bunch of wood and put them out. And so there's like beautiful stained glass windows that he found and skips and like that were all, it's just gorgeous. And so if you want to see that, yeah, check out the music video tomorrow. But other than that, thank you for having me, Zach.
Thank you for having us be able to play your song before it officially releases.
Of course, yeah. So
that was a jumble of words.
Yeah. So all you lucky listeners, this is my song Heaven Knows, which is going to be available to stream tomorrow, but this is the official debut of the song right here, right now on Radio 1, 91 FM.
Right here, right now. It's 10:47 on the one. Here is Sam Charlesworth with Heaven Knows. Take care.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.